Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We now come in our Romans study to one of the best known texts in all the Bible, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. This text is so familiar that Christians often simply cite the reference without bothering to quote the text. I'm sorry for your situation, brother, but don't forget Romans 8:28. And many times that's all we need to say to encourage and comfort someone else, or at least we think that's what we're doing. Whether we actually are or not, I guess, depends upon the response of the individual that we say things like that to. Now, we probably need to realize that Romans 8:28 is a summary of the contents of the 8th chapter of Romans up to this point. It starts out by telling justified believers that there is no condemnation, and continues by teaching us about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit given to all believers. We are assured of our sonship in verses 14 through 17, and told that our present sufferings guarantee our future glory in verse 18. We are reminded that believers will dwell in a new heaven and a new earth in verses 19 through 22. And finally, that the Holy Spirit intercedes perfectly for the saints as they pray, verses 26 and 27. And now we read, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called, according to His purpose. So let's take a closer look at this wonderful text, and we'll begin by noticing the connection. How does this verse fit into the context? And we know. There is a connection, isn't there? There is a particle. There is a conjunction. And we know. The verse begins with the English word and. It is actually the Greek word de, which is sometimes translated but. But that's a Greek particle or conjunction, which can either be adversative, but is the way you translate that, or continuative, and is the way that you translate that. So, if the word should be translated but we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, then that but is an adversative that is in contrast with our groanings in verse 23 and the fact that we don't know how we should pray as we ought, verse 26. Let's go back and pick up those two verses and see how it fits. Not only that, verse 23, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, but we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Or if we set it in contrast with verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, but we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, etc. And so the idea is that in spite of groanings, in spite of sufferings, in spite of difficulties, in spite of adversity, we know that God is working everything for our good. We face grievous trials, and these in themselves are not immediately joyous, but we look at them from another point of view, because we know that God is working all things for our good. That's the way the text would be understood if the opening word is to be translated but. However, I think the translation and, well, that's not the most common one for the Greek particle day, but I think the translation and is probably the better translation, and it is the one that we find in most Bible translations. And so there it is a continuative, and it has the idea of in addition to. And what went before? Well, we were told about the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that is in addition to all of these good things, an additional reason why the afflictions of this life are not inconsistent with our position as sons of God. And in addition to this wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit to the lives of all God's children, we also can be sure that we can be guaranteed that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so the idea is we are dealing with reality. The world in which we live enlists our groans. But Christians live in hope, not only the hope of final salvation, but also in the assurance that God's is ever present with wisdom and power, working everything out for our good. We not only have hope in the future, but we can even have confidence in the present, because we know who God is, and we know what our relationship with God is by his grace. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, etc. That's the connection. Now, secondly, let's take up the assurance. We know. And we know. There are many things that we don't know. Many things that we don't know about this life and about the world in which we live, but in the spiritual realm, there are many things that we don't know. We don't understand them. And there are many things that we cannot know in this life, and we will have to await the life to come to find out how many of them we will understand then. I don't know if we will ever fully understand the mystery of the triune Godhead, the doctrine that we generally call the Trinity. That's a mystery now. We know it's true. We know some things about it, but frankly, there's just so much about it that we don't know. We can't comprehend. We can't fully explain. It is just beyond our comprehension. We don't know about this triune nature of God. We know it's true, but we just don't understand it. And there are many things that we don't know. We can't know the details of our Christian hope. We do have a wonderful Christian hope that we have been reminded of here in Romans chapter 8, but so many of those things are in the future. We know just a little bit about them, but we really don't know much about them. We were just reminded in verse 26 that we don't know how to pray a great deal of the time. We really don't know how is the best way to pray. We don't know what the will of God is for every situation in our life. We many times don't know how to frame our petitions, how to articulate the earnest desires of our soul. There are just so many things we don't know. And because in praying we don't know how to pray as we ought, we're grateful for the intercession of the Holy Spirit. So we were just told that there's some things we don't know. Again, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But when we come to verse 28, the text does not say, and we do not know. The text says, and we know. And we know. There's a statement of certainty. There's a statement of assurance. Though there are many things we do not know, there are some things that we do know, that we can know, and that we do know, and that we ought to know. And it's just as foolish to confess not to know what God has plainly revealed to us as it is to claim to know those things that we cannot know. All of us know some Christians who are certain that they know things that it's obvious that they really don't. How foolish. How foolish to claim that you know something that you don't know. We also know Christians who act as if it's impossible to know anything. It's impossible, for example, for anyone to know for sure that he's saved. It's impossible for anyone to have any real assurance of salvation, according to some people. Well, that's just as wrong to deny knowledge that God says we can have and ought to have as it is to claim knowledge that God indicates we can't have. You see what I'm saying? When the Bible tells us that we can have assurance of salvation, these things write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John tells us in 1 John 5:13, why would someone say, I don't know? Well, I can understand why someone might say, I don't know. But why would anyone say, we can't know? It's impossible to know. Nobody can know whether or not they are a child of God until they die. It's impossible for anybody to know that with certainty in this life. Well, the Bible says the opposite. These things write we unto you that ye may know. Everyone may not know, because everyone may not understand the things which were written so that we may know. Some people may claim a knowledge that is not based upon the Word of God, and they may be claiming an assurance which is a false assurance, but sweeping aside all of these mistakes, the Bible plainly tells us that here is something that it is possible for a child of God to know. So why would anyone say we can't know? It's impossible to know when the Bible says it is possible to know. And here is another one of those things that the Bible says we know. Here it doesn't even say we can know, we may know. It says we do know. Paul says, and we know. In other words, this is something that all Christians ought to know. All Christians surely do know. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now the question is, how do we know? And the answer is, we know, number one, because of the knowledge of faith, and number two, because of the knowledge of experience. First of all, the knowledge of faith. And we know because we know God, who is perfect in wisdom, power, and holiness. And if that's what God is, or who God is, then we know that all things work together for good. We know His promises, and we apply His promises to ourselves, to our lives, by faith. And this knowledge, which comes by faith, which is believing the Word of God, enables us to know that all things work together for good. But furthermore, we have the knowledge of experience. As we grow in grace and knowledge, and as we walk along this pilgrim pathway, we can see that this is true. We can see so many things that at the time we experienced them seemed to be utter tragedies without any good purpose. And then after the passing of a few months or years, we see it from an entirely different perspective. And we say, you know what? I realize now that that event that at the time seemed to be my greatest burden turned out to be one of my greatest blessings. I can see how God took that tragedy and used it to work some wonderful things in my life that would not have been worked otherwise. And I know not only by believing the Word of God, but I can see by experience that indeed all things do work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. How wonderful. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.